Mar. No, I think I prefer writing it down 5th of March, not 5th Mar. But anyway, I'm not going to change that for now. I can't go back. There's no rear view mirror in Paul Thax's diary, which is ironic given the nature of diary keeping. But anyway, I'll just leave it as it is. Is it wrong to scratch my inner ear with the inside bit of a biro? You know, the tube that houses all the ink. It's the only thing that's thin enough to get through all the earwax and get right down into the itch. I tried a cotton wool bud, but that just sort of, like, coffee plungers all the wax into a big disc right in front of my ear drum. It's essentially just like a big waxy ear defender. Maybe I can get a tiny spoon to scoop it all out with. Make a very, very small candle. I don't know. Tony is trying to introduce the catchphrase,
"But where's the love?"
into his radio slots. When he's talking to an old woman today on the phone section, which is about, which is worse, clowns or mimes, the old woman said,
"I don't really like any kind of street performer. They're normally all bloody Polish anyway."
Tony replied with,
"But they're our foreign cousins."
"Well, they shouldn't be in my country, young man,"
the old woman said to Tony, to which Tony replied,
"Oh, but where's the love?"
But the old woman had walked off. And that was the only time where he said,
"Again?"
"Yes."
"But where's the love?" You could just use a sample and just play it.
"Sure." That was the only time where he said,
"But where's the love?"
That it was actually appropriate. Most of the other times you'd just say it at random, hoping it would catch on. It hasn't. If anything, we've got more complaints about that than the whole cunting countryside debacle. 6th of March. Cecil said today was World Star Wars Day. He declared this as part of our radio show banter. I have no idea why. Surely if any day was going to be Star Wars Day, then it'd be May the 4th. Be with you. I asked him why he thought it was today, and apparently he had no idea. Turns out he's never even seen Star Wars. And this was the opportunity I've always wanted, and was going to pounce on it, because how often does an opportunity come through like this? I want to show someone who's never seen any Star Wars and has no opinion either way of any Star Wars films all of the, well, at the time, all of the 6 Star Wars films, and find out which they thought was better. The horrific 3 prequels, The Phantom Menace, The Clones Do Something, and Grumpy Sith, or the classic ones, The Newest Hope, The Empire Gets Grumpy, or Return of Luke and His Chums. It was quite a challenge to sit through all 6 films in one day. Worryingly, Cecil's attention was held for the first 3 rubbish films, with the lights, colours and shapes. But as the classic 3 Star Wars films played out, I saw Cecil's attention wander. I knew that...
What's that?
All right, see you, Tony. Can you not... God's sake. I've lost my place now. But as the 3 classic Star Wars films played out, I saw Cecil's attention wander. I knew that he was thinking about that crossword in the Biddington Free Press. 9 down. Something to do with a lamp. Starting with the letter L. Don't know. Just a quick aside. Another spider has just started crawling down the wall, but it was much smaller, and I threw a DVD case at it and it exploded. After all 6 Star Wars films had been watched, I turned to Cecil and waited for his judgment on all the films. He sat, clearly thinking for a while, then he turned to me and said,
"Come on.
Paul, I want to be honest with you, and I don't want to make a rash decision. I don't want to make a rash decision. In all honesty, given the cinematography, the directing, acting, special effects, soundtrack and all the other components, the best of all the 6 films I've just seen is the..."
And then suddenly Mum burst through the door.
"We've had an offer! Hey, we've had an offer, Cecil!"
Cecil jumped up very excitedly and said,
How much for?"
I didn't have a bloody clue what was going on. Mum just said,
210.
Dad suddenly started crying, but there were songs of joy and tears of laughter. I demanded to tell me what's going on. They sat down and told me the terrible news. Sorry, I'm too upset to talk about it now. I'll tell you tomorrow. 7th of March. Oh, it's just too awful to even talk about. But talk about it I must, for that's the very nature of keeping a diary. Where would I be if I refused to jot down any thoughts and emotions that pop into my tiny mind? Where indeed would any of us be if we... Sorry, I'm putting it off. Right, here's the news. We, and by we, I mean Mum and Dad. It's nothing to do with me. We, quotes, are selling Cristela. They've hidden this horrible news from me for months. Apparently it's been on the market for ages. Then Mum and Dad decided to put it in auction, just like in Homes Under the Hammer. They had a viewing day, which was those 2 days when they sent me away with Tony and his wife to Beamish and that. I wondered why they did that. Seemed rather odd and out of character for them. Then the auction was yesterday. Apparently they can't afford to keep Cristela running because no one comes here anymore. Something to do with the poor conditions and that smell. I said she was in a dilapidated state, didn't I? They can't even afford to have her painted. We've got 1 month to find a new house and to move out. 8th of March. It only just occurs to me that if we move, we won't have the radio station in the extension. I don't care if it's 1:45 in the morning, I'm going to find out what they think they're playing at. I'll be back in a minute, dear diary. Obviously that doesn't work in a radio format where I'm reading it out to you, so you just have to imagine I've gone downstairs and confronted my men dad. Bastards! The plan is to find a small, nice house, not bother doing holiday flats anymore and just potting around like pensioners. Which I know technically they are, but they said they'll build an outhouse for all the radio equipment, but it's going to take months, if not years. Then they told me to go back to bed, and Cecil threw a slipper at me. It hit me in the left testicle, and to be honest, I've never felt pain quite like it. I fell to the floor, clutched my bollock, and just lay crying for half an hour. And they just ignored me. Thought I might get at least a cup of hot chocolate out of it. Hot chocolate? Drinking chocolate? Which is it? Both sound wrong. Anyway, in the afternoon of today, Cecil and myself went to the newsagents and asked him if we could have any boxes he had. But the only ones he had were shoe boxes, which is odd because he didn't sell shoes. But then when we got home, we found a Barbie doll in one, and he'd drawn a little bed in it, and another one had like a little kitchen scene. I couldn't figure out whether these were his own designs or if he had a small child or something. But I know for a fact he's not married, so he can't possibly have children, can he? Weird. Anyway, I pinched the Barbie and looked a bit scared. It's just smooth. But is that realistic or not? No idea. 9th of March. When typing out the date there, I typed 90th of March by accident, so I went back to correct it. Then, once I deleted the 0, I accidentally pushed the 0 again, making it back to the 90th. I know that's boring and pointless to write, I bet you're thinking, but the only reason I write it is because it happened 5 more times. Every time I pushed 0 to delete it, I accidentally then pushed 0 to add it back in. I don't know why, I think something's wrong with me. Well, that's filled some space. Sorry to write such banal drivel, but I'm putting off writing my true feelings and thoughts because they are really quite upsetting to me. But think of them I must. For 3 days ago, Tony's wife made a flippant comment about me being an emotional retard, which sounds like the title of a song. So here are a few lyrics. Excuse me. I'm a bit weepy thinking about it. Here are a few lyrics to that song, or if you want, a poem. But as poems are just written by idiots who can't write music to go with them, it's a song. Emotional retard. Words and lyrics by P. Thax. The words and lyrics are the same thing, so I don't know why I wrote that. I laughed when E.T. died. Oh, I felt nothing inside. When Bambi's mother got shot, I cared not a jot. When I should get angry, I just seem to get hungry. When I'm depressed, I've no need to repress. I don't feel emotions, I need no therapeutic lotions. I fear for my bride, for I am dead inside. I am emotionally scarred, I am an emotional retard. Needs work. Anyway, back to confronting the issues I've been putting off writing about for the past 24 minutes. I'm upset about having to move house, but not half as upset I am about finding out that I missed Lucy Alexander coming to my home. Who's she? Well, she's the only bloody woman presenter of Homes Under Hammer. Yeah, that's right. Mid-morning BBC One Homes Under the Hammer auction TV programme came to Christella. I've lost my place. I got so excited thinking about it. I've lost my place. Yes, that's right. Mid-morning BBC One Homes Under the Hammer auction TV programme came to the house. Mum and Dad were on it, though they weren't the sellers. They weren't featured. Oh, my writing's terrible. A builder called Sichuang Ichler. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I haven't just had a stroke. That is his name. It's from Korea. And he's got big plans for poor little old Christella. She's going to have her walls ripped out. And he's changing everything. It's still going to be holiday flats, but horrifically modern ones. Which in a town like Biddeton is not a very wise thing to do. Oh, how I wish I had seen and touched Lucy Alexander. Actually, I'm not that bothered, to be honest. I don't really like her half as much as that other property lady. Actually, I didn't even know who Lucy Alexander was. I had to look her up on Google. Couldn't get to see if there was any nude pictures of her. I assume there wasn't. Anyway, we have to be out by the 1st of April. So maybe it's just a very cruel April Fool's joke. God, if it is, I don't know what I'll do. But I'm sure it will be have the pretense of violence. Anyway, though to be fair, it's I have a lot to go through for just to do an April Fool's joke on someone. We spent most of today sorting out the kitchen and packing things up. Actually, thinking about it, yeah, this much effort is the perfect way to throw me off the track that it is actually a practical joke. No one would go to this much trouble to play a practical joke, therefore it is a practical joke. Well played, Margaret. Because let's be honest, there's no way Cecil could have thought of this. I'll see you're pretending to move house, and I'll raise you a playing along with your game to see who cracks first. So how they got our house on Homes Under the Hammer, if we're not selling it, is far too confusing for my brain to work out. 10th of March. Someone said on Brian Bell's show, which is our late night apocalyptic chat show, in which Brian Bell looks at various ways the world might end. So he and Dad decided to call it Brian Bell's End, which is too rude in my opinion, something I've thought to have changed since we first thought it up. But on the show, Brian likes to talk about the various ways his life could end. Sorry, I forgot where I was going with this. It might come back to me, I don't know, forgotten. We spent most of today packing up the kitchen still, then unpacking the things I packed because I was doing them wrong. Apparently each individual plate has to be wrapped up in 3 sheets of newspaper and then placed on flat in the box. I forewent, well that is a word, who knew? I forewent the newspaper and just stacked all up the plates, all on the sides, and sort of loosely. Mum got very angry. She shouted at me and left the room in a huff. I remember, I was going to say, on Brian Bell's late show, they were talking about lucid dreaming. How that's relating to Brian dying, I don't know. Whereby you dreaming in the dream, that you can control the dream. But I think that's just part of the dream, isn't it? Anyway, a man rang in and told Brian how lucid dreaming you can never turn the light switch on or off. No matter how much you're aware of being in a dream, that light just won't go off. Which surely disproves the whole point of being able to control the dream. Because clearly you're not in control of the dream. Then he went on to say that if you look at your reflection in the mirror, or any high polished surface, or bald man's head, you'll see something utterly terrifying as your reflection. Something so bad it'll make you wake up screaming. So now, my fear is that if I ever realise that I'm dreaming, the first thing that will come into my head is how horrible I might look in the mirror. Then I'll look at the man in the mirror, because I'm thinking of one, and I'll have no option but to turn and look in it and see the horror therein. And the worst part is I won't be able to turn the light off to make it so that... Oh, God. Who cares? Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm just looking for filler, dear diary, clearly. Don't need an excuse to dream anyway. If I did think about dreaming, it would be... Oh, I'm dreaming. Right, Sue Pollard. No top on. But then, I've done that. I'm sure I've done that in a dream. Right, Sue Pollard, no top on. But a chest has just been blurry because I'm not entirely sure what bosoms actually look like. My brain just doesn't know how to fill in the blanks. 11th of March. I slept just fine, thank you. I forgot I hardly ever remember to dream anyway, so the chances I'll realise I'm dreaming is highly improbable. Today, the internet was broken and Mum's been frantic. She can't get on her Facebook, on her... that's an old reference, on MySpace. But worst of all, she claims she can't search for a house on the internet. Whatever, Mother. You aren't fooling anybody. Well, you're fooling maybe Cecil. But I'm assuming he's in on it anyway. But you're not fooling me, old wrinkly woman. So to get away from her anger and wrath, and having to pack up her china clowns, I took a walk around to Eugene's house. I hadn't been there since before Christmas. Back then, he and his wife had got Kinder Egg advent calendars, and I was too tempted to open up the 24th window to find out what a Christmas Kinder Egg looked like. I had been there, and I think I got to it. I was just about to open it, and they found me and kicked me out. So I don't know what was going on. Anyway, this afternoon I got to Eugene's house just before 3:23. Banged on the door. They didn't start up a doorbell, but there was no reply. I waited a minute, then knocked again. I looked through the letterbox and I could see shadows moving around upstairs, and I shouted, "Eugene!" through the letterbox, and I heard someone shouting, "I'm coming!" 5 minutes later, I could see figures moving through the frosted glass. Just, man. The door opened and a man shot out, nearly knocking me over. Eugene and 2B, that's his wife, I don't know her name, were coming down the stairs. Eugene was doing his buttons up on his shirt, and 2B was wearing a red fleece dressing gown. We all went into the living room, and Eugene asked me, in an incredibly chirpy voice, if I wanted a drink. And I said, "Four fun tractories, please, my good fellow." He gave me a wink, and he skipped off towards the kitchen. I looked over to 2B. She had a very strange look on her face. Kind of sad, kind of shell-shocked look. I asked her if she was all right, and she said, "What has he become?" I didn't know how to respond to that. Eugene came back and sort of threw the cone at me. One hit me in the testy. Why does stuff keep hitting me in the bollocks? They're not even that big. I doubled up in pain. Again. God, it was already bruised from the other night. Eugene went and sat on his high-backed armchair, and it took a while to sit down. He just sort of hovered, and then sort of gently lowered himself down. 2B asked if I was all right, and I said, I tried to say, "No," but I couldn't even speak. Took a while, and eventually I sat up once the pain had passed. Eugene had fallen asleep in his chair. He had his shorts on, and I guess he'd had a fall because his knees were really red. Then 2B started to cry. I didn't know what to do. Mum never cries. When Dad usually does, it's because he's thought about E.T. dying. I mean, he knows that E.T. comes back to life at the end, but he still weeps thinking about it. 2B was sat with her head in her hands, sobbing. I thought I'd better do something, so I went over and knelt down and tried to console her. Silly, over-emotional woman. I rubbed her back. Like I've seen Mum do to Dad, and she sort of leant in towards me, and I kept rubbing her back, and then I did what Mum usually does. and then I started singing, "Hush, little baby, don't say a word. I'm almost gonna buy you a mockingbird." 2B looked up and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "My mum sings that to Dad when he gets upset." I looked at her. Her eyes met, hers filled with tears. Mine kind of twitching because I'd had quite a lot of cola this morning. Then I chanced my arm. I went down to kiss her on the lips. She recoiled. She suddenly then got very angry and started screaming at me. "Don't get out! Don't touch me! How dare you touch me! Get out! Get out! Get out!" Then she just ran out of the room screaming and crying about not wanting me to touch her. Eugene woke up with a start. "What's going on, Paul?" He said. And I started saying that 2B was upset about something. I didn't tell her I was touching her back. Him that I was touching her back. Eugene told me he'd have a word with him, find out what was wrong. I made my excuses and left. God knows what's going on in that household. I bet he's back on the smacks.